My wife and I had the opportunity to be in Atlanta for a few days this past week, and it was a wonderful chance to reconnect with a number of people, one of whom was one of my prayer partners. When I first moved to Atlanta, I asked one of the pastors there if he would become a prayer partner of mine. We would serve as accountability partners, meeting once a month, praying for each other daily and lifting each other up before the Lord, and then basically asking the tough questions and trying to make sure that both of us had good accountability. I'd had that in New England, and I wanted that when I moved to Atlanta. Well, he and I started meeting. That was Bryant Wright at Johnson Ferry Baptist. And he and I started meeting, and it was a wonderful relationship. And soon somebody told me about a guy who was starting a new church, a fellow by the name of Michael Youssef, starting a church named Church of the Apostles. And so I contacted Michael, took him out to lunch, and as I got to know him a little bit, asked if he'd be willing to be a prayer partner, and he agreed that he would. So we started meeting on a regular basis, and after a while, as I got to know both Bryant and Michael better, I said, Bryant, would you be okay with inviting Michael to join us? I've been meeting with him for a while. He said, sure, if you think so. And I met with Michael, and I said, would you be okay with meeting with Bryant also? And he said, sure, that's fine. So the three of us started meeting together, and then, after a while, Bryant said, Jim, I've been meeting with Randy Pope at Perimeter Prez. Would you be okay with our inviting him into the group? And I said, absolutely. So Susan and I went to dinner with Randy Pope and his wife while we were in Atlanta, having I had just preached at Michael Youssef's church. And Bryant Wright is the chairman of my board. So we're still connected, still praying for each other, still encouraging each other, and still not afraid to ask hard questions. But we had a delightful time with that. And I thought that was pretty much a wrap. Now we're all good and we've made our connections. Miss Becky here at the ranch sent me an email asking if I knew this guy, and it was a name I definitely knew. She said, well, he has contacted the ranch and asked that you would please call him. I said, okay, get me his number, I'll call. I called. And I want to tell you a little bit about this guy. He was one of the first five kids that we admitted at Ware's Valley Ranch. And I have not heard from him in at least 20 years until this week. And when I talked with him about 20 years ago, he said, and I will modify the language a little bit, but he said, I still don't have my stuff together. In other words, my life is still a mess. But he said, I know two things. I know you all love me, and I know you've never lied to me. Well, I've clung to that. As we've prayed for him across the years, I've held on to the fact that he knew from his time here at the ranch that he was loved. And he knew from his time here at the ranch that we don't lie to people. And he said, I know you never lied to me. So, with his permission, I'm going to share a little bit of his story, and I'm going to share some scriptures that apply beautifully to his story. When I spoke to him on the phone, he said, I can't believe it. He said, I'm so glad to get to talk to you. And I said, well, tell me what's going on in your life. And he said, well, first of all, I want to ask your forgiveness for some of the things that I did when I was there. And he said, I don't know if you want to talk about that or not. And I said, not really. I said, if you want to share something about it, I'm happy to hear what you have to say. But I said, you were forgiven long ago by us. And he said, well, he said, I really made a mess of my life. He said, as soon as I left the ranch, I immediately started living the wrong way. And he said, and I've been in and out of prison. I've been hooked on drugs. I've OD'd twice. It's a miracle that I'm alive. And he said, but recently, I've kind of awakened and realized this is crazy. I'm destroying my life. I need to grow up. I need to be a man. I need to be a father to my children. He's got three kids, never been married. He said, I need to be a father to my children. And he said, so I started listening to your radio broadcast. And I've been watching the videos of chapel at the ranch and watching the videos of your church on Sunday. And he said, and it's been really helping me, but I need to find a church here in Atlanta. And I said, well, I can recommend some. We talked a little more, and I said, you know, I was just down here preaching at a church Sunday. And he said, no. And I said, yeah, I'm still in town. He said, you're kidding. I said, no. He said, well, I just felt this really strong urge from the Lord that I was supposed to call and reach out to you, but I had no idea you were in town. And I said, yeah, I'd love to get together with you. So Mrs. Wood and I got to take this guy. I told him I wouldn't use his name. I think he would have let me if I'd asked. But we got to take him out to dinner there in Atlanta. He and his girlfriend joined us for dinner. And it was wonderful. And he shared various things he was learning. And between the time of the telephone call and the time he got to dinner, he had already watched the sermon from this last Sunday at Church of the Apostles and was able to talk about it. So here's a guy who is spiritually hungry, and he knows where to find food. And I'm thankful. So then he, after we'd had a wonderful visit for a couple of hours, he texted me and sent me what he had posted online in the group that he's a part of. And I want to share it with you. Okay? Bear in mind, this is a guy who's, as he said, I just recently got off drugs. Okay? This is a guy who's been on a long, rough road. And here's what he writes. Faith in Christ. Hello, my fellow friends and neighbors. I just wanted to take a moment and remind everyone of how good God is and how much He loves us. God has so much planned for our lives. I really felt like I was just going through the motions of working every day and going home and watching TV. I felt like my life was mediocre at best. Who here feels ashamed of the sins they committed? I know I do. Well, something has changed in my life, and I wanted to share with all of you the excitement, the rush, and the peace of having faith in Jesus Christ. God has so much in store for you and me. He can unlock doors like we would never imagine. Look at His amazing stars and galaxies. That's what I want people to think about when we have faith in Jesus. Think really big. Stop living a life of mediocrity and start living for Jesus. Amen. Do you feel like I did before I renewed my faith in God's Son, Jesus? His only Son He gave for our sins. Remember in the Bible when people disobeyed God and sinned against Him? They would sacrifice their best animal, their firstborns, with no blemishes. Well, God gave His Son once and for all as a sacrifice for our sins. That's the gospel, folks. That's the good news. Numerous exclamation points. God wants you to know that it's not our deeds that get us into heaven or that gives us the power of the Holy Spirit or that work miracles among us. It is believing in Christ and fully trusting Him. Amen. I hope my declaration of faith in Jesus Christ and God's promises has inspired some of you to see the purpose for your lives also. God bless, and remember, God loves you. Someone asked me not that long ago if I had any idea what had happened to him, and I said no, but I would guess that if he's still alive, he's in prison. And that really was not harsh or unkind. It was simply a description of the road that he had headed down years ago. And so talking with him was a little like talking with Lazarus. Here's a guy who'd been dead. Here's a guy who was wearing stinky grave clothes and couldn't get out. But you know, God raises the dead. God heals. God delivers. And this friend, this brother in Christ, is a testimony to that fact. Three scriptures that God put on my heart in response to what that young man, now 40 years old, still a young man, shared. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. And then in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You hear what God offers? It's a binary decision. Life and death. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. My friend in Atlanta, former student, was like the prodigal, longing to feed himself with the pig's food. And then the Bible says the prodigal came to his senses. Something happened. It was an aha moment. We call that an epiphany. The light comes on. Wow. What am I doing here? How did I get in this mess? And of course, you know what the prodigal said. I'm going to go back to my father And I'm going to say to him, this is really your fault. Is that right? No. He said, I'm going to go back to him and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as one of your hired men. You know, one of the things that that young man said over and over on the phone and at dinner, he said, you know, this is on me. I made bad choices. I knew better. Let me tell you, he had a lot of help getting in the mess he was in. He's never known his biological father. And his mom pulled him out of here because she wanted him to make deliveries of illegal drugs for her. Not to her, for her. She was in business. And having a minor child as your drug runner would be helpful. Because if he gets arrested, he won't talk. And after a few years, he's going to get out of juvie. And we can have his criminal record sealed. He's not going to tell on me. I can use him to run drugs. So he got pointed in the wrong direction. But let me tell you something. He still knew it was wrong. He still knew it was wrong. And he did it. And so as his life spiraled out of control, and he felt like, well, I don't have any choice. This is just the way it is. I can't do anything different. God never gave up on him. And when he OD'd, God brought him back. And when he OD'd another time, God brought him back. But God didn't just bring him back physically. God was dealing with him spiritually and giving him a longing. He said, the ranch was the only place where I ever saw people living a life of real love. And he wanted that. And the good news is, it's in Jesus. It's not about geography. It's about relationship. It's not about belonging to the right group. It's about knowing him. He said it well in his post online. It's about trusting in Jesus. That's what it's all about. How blessed is the man who has never sinned. Is that what the psalmist says? No, because there aren't any people like that except Jesus. He says, how blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. God does not hold our sins against us when they are forgiven. But God offers in Isaiah, you can be completely clean, I'll clean you. You can be completely clean, completely forgiven, or you can continue in sin and you will be destroyed. You'll be destroyed. Again, it's a binary choice, life or death. Jesus said, two roads. One leads to destruction, the other one, everlasting life. What are you choosing? What are you choosing? What are you choosing? I told you about him, but what about you? Are you trusting in Jesus? Are you doing what he says? Or are you still someone who believes intellectually, maybe even believes sincerely that it's true, but when it comes down to it, you're not trusting him and doing what he says? I want you to love him and trust him because he loves you. Another scripture that God put on my heart through that conversation is a familiar verse right from the end of 1 Corinthians 15. It's a verse written to people who are dealing with the issue of death. Somebody you love has died. Somebody you love is dying. Maybe you have realized that your days are numbered, because that's true for all of us, whether we face it or not. And having talked about the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, and at the heart of that, the resurrection of Jesus, providing us with our hope for the future, this wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let me just tell you, there are times when doing what we've done all these years gets discouraging. You see folks who say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. And then they make decisions that call into question the sincerity of that commitment. Oh, I don't mean that some of our students sometimes have made mistakes. I mean, some people seem to gravitate toward a road they know is wrong. And it's like, how could you do that? You know better than that. That's not just true here at Ware's Valley. That's true of many parents trying to bring their kids up in the Lord, teaching them the scriptures, taking them to church, having family devotions in the home, seeking to model godly living. And then some kids, like one of my older siblings, just kick over the traces and make it clear that they want to go in the opposite direction. They run from the truth. They run from the things of God. They don't want to be around the people of God. It's like, what happened? Well, in my family, that particular prodigal ended up being a wonderful pastor of a megachurch after God brought him back. He talked about how when he was in the Navy, serving as a medic with the Marines during the Vietnam War, he'd be about to do something that he knew he shouldn't do, but he'd be focused on the pleasure. And as he was going to do the bad thing, a verse that he'd been forced to memorize in childhood would flash in his brain. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days draw nigh. What are you going to do? And he'd think, why am I thinking of that right now? And then he'd look at his watch and he'd realize, oh, 12 hours. Different time zone. Mom and Dad are having devotions. They're on their knees praying for me right now. I know, because they're faithful in doing that. And he said, it didn't keep me from sinning, but it kept me from being able to enjoy it as much. He still did wrong. He still rebelled. He still ran from the truth. But God didn't say, I give up. God said, I have a plan. And God drew him back with cords of love. And he surrendered his life to the Lord. And God has used him tremendously. So what does God say to those of us who are seeking to parent or house parent or mentor or teach? What does God say to all of us who are seeking to do His will? He says, stand firm. You can't control other people, but you can stand firm. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always. Not most of the time or sometimes. Always. Give yourselves fully, not partially, not mostly. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. That's what we need to do. Because you know, not you hope, you think, you wish, you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If you're doing what God's told you to do, that's what you're responsible for. God has promised, "My word will not return unto me void, but will accomplish that for which I sent it." I'm going to tell you one more story. A young man in our church here who has recently come to faith in Christ. He's a young Christian just getting started in his walk with God. Took his wife, who's also a new Christian, up to visit relatives and friends in Connecticut. God did a lot of remarkable things during their week up there. But one that he shared with me was there was a guy he was going to be meeting with, and they'd never really talked about God or faith. So he made an appointment to meet with this old friend. And when the guy arrived, he said, "Travis, the weirdest thing happened on my way here. I stopped to get gas in my truck, and this guy pulls into the gas station, comes over to me and says, 'You need to know that God loves you, and he has a plan for your life.'" And I said, "Well, yeah, I go to church and all." And the guy said, "No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about really trusting Jesus." He said, and then he got back in his vehicle and drove off. He didn't even get gas. It was the weirdest thing. And Travis said, "Do you want to know why that happened?" And the guy said, "Yeah." He said, "Because I was praying for you." And the guy said, "What?" And Travis got to share with him what Jesus has done in his life. Let me tell you something, folks. We're not talking about a theory here. We're not talking about an exercise program. We're not talking about a philosophy. We're talking about a relationship with the living God. God is more real than anything you can imagine. He is the ultimate reality. He is the truth. And he's at work, and he's drawing people to himself. While you have the opportunity, trust him and ask him to use you for his glory. And if you're concerned about somebody and it's like, "How do I reach them?" On your knees, pray for them. Pray for them. Because God is able to do what we cannot. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your amazing grace. Thank you for your power to transform lives. Thank you for what you've done for those of us who are your children. I pray that you would use us for your glory. And I pray for my friend in Atlanta that you would encourage him and protect him and keep him on the path following you. And we will give you the praise in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.